You're listening to Charlottesville's Podcasting Network. I'm Dan Gould. Each spring and fall, the Senior Center in Charlottesville's Encore Players takes to the stage to perform a series of one-act plays. This fall, the group presented a series of six plays. Victoria and Angela must learn to get along in Avoiding the Single Supplement. The play was introduced by Pat Cook. The performance took place on Wednesday, October 20th, 2013, as a part of the Encore Players Fall 2013 performance. This is the third of a six-part Wednesday series on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Here's Pat Cook.
This story is true. Only the names and the destinations have been changed to protect the author. The quotations are verbatim. Imagine that you're looking at one of those many travel brochures that clog your mailbox on a regular basis. And finally, one of those adventures captures your imagination. And the price is right. But the single supplement is an additional 50%. However, if you accept a roommate, the supplement is waived. How bad could it be? You have now boarded the plane. You have stowed your carry-on under the seat in front of you and settled comfortably into the aisle seat. At this point, another passenger is lumbering up the aisle, stumbling and beaning people with her bags. She stops at your seat, and the adventure begins.
Well, there I was, comfortable in my seat. But as I watched Angela walk down, and I thought my first clue should have been about how she lunged toward me with a backpack and two carry-on bags. She tried to cram one of them in the overhead bin, and I cringed at the thought of her falling suitcase on my head. And then she tells me I am in her seat. I pointed to my boarding pass and told her hers was the middle seat. So she climbs over me, landing with a bang, putting her backpack on her lap in the middle seat.
I should have known. When she pointed to her one carry-on under the seat in front of her and said, "You need to put your backpack under the seat like mine is. I don't use the overhead bin. I'm too short."
It was a 7-hour flight. By the time we reached Amsterdam, I was exhausted. Angela had talked all night long. I knew her ailments. I knew their treatments. I knew her religion. I knew her political views. And I knew her dietary requirements. And she even added her marital history. As I tried to sleep, all she did was talk. And then every half hour, she had to get up and go to the bathroom.
We were on that plane for 7 hours. And I had to pry every little snippet of information out of her with a crowbar. I asked her if her friends called her Vicky. And she said, "No, my friends call me Victoria."
Going through customs in Amsterdam, she couldn't find her passport. She knew that she had put it in one of the pockets of her three carry-ons, 1, 2, 3. She dumped the contents of all three of her bags on the floor and started tearing through them like a dog with a bone. Finally, one of our nicer companions went back to help her, and she pointed to her password right away.
If I hadn't already showed my passport in the U.S. before we left, I would have had it for the Dutch authorities to stamp their little thing in it. But one of the men on the tour gave me a passport holder. He said to wear it around my neck at all times. Such a nice man. Too bad he's married.
So, first thing we did, we got in our room. She looks at me and says, have you ever had a bone scan? And if so, what were the results? I told her I was absolutely fine. She told me that I was courting osteoporosis, and she knew the treatment. It was an exercise that she couldn't do, and she was sure I couldn't do it. Well, I tried it at home, piece of cake.
That woman will have osteoporosis in 10 years. She's always looking at her feet. She said she didn't want to trip on the cobblestones.
She wasn't just content to prescribe for me. She heard that somebody else on the tour had a bad problem. She was had one of those ailments that they keep trying to sell the cure for on TV, and she could barely contain herself, and she found the poor victim and presented her with the remedies from her little bag of herbs and fiber foods.
Our fellow pilgrim was so grateful that I was able to help her. All she needed was a regular supply of dried fruits and a daily dose of my herbs supplement. I make it myself.
The first morning, Angela was a little chagrined that I made my bed. Evil woman, she says, trying to shame me into making my bed. What was that all about?
What a neat freak. She was always trying to embarrass me with her organization. And she always insisted on being in control of the key. If I had to run back upstairs to get something from the room, her parting words always were, "Don't forget to bring the key back to me."
La la la. Senior moment because the papers are sticking. Many senior moments. Yes. Okay, we took a walking tour the first morning. Several people were looking for a bank where they could exchange for some euros. Now, I had an adequate supply, and Angela, of course, didn't feel a need to do it. The guide suggested that we all go our separate errands and meet back in the corner in 1 hour. So everybody else turns right toward the banking district. Angela turns left. And like an idiot, I followed her. About half down the block, an alley cut across the sidewalk. And Angela turned into it, walking right down the middle of the street. Cars and motorcycles were whizzing past her. I shouted, "Move to the side of the road, Angela. There are cars and motorcycles." "It's up to them to watch for me," she says. Boy, I hope nobody spoke English.
I can't understand why she would travel all the way to Europe and then be so afraid of a little adventure. She didn't want to see what was around the corner of that alley. She kept looking back to the spot where we were supposed to meet the rest of the group. Then she asked me what time it was, like they weren't going to wait for us if we were just a few minutes late. Then we found this really sweet little church. I never could find out what kind of church it was, so I took off my shoes to let the ambiance flow up through my feet into my being.
Well, animal lover that she was, she had to talk to every single dog she saw on the street. The rest of the group would be waving and telling us to hurry up, and I would pick up the pace, and then I'd look back, and she'd be down on her haunches, cooing over another mutt.
We didn't have lunch together. I suddenly remembered that Monday was April the 15th, and I hadn't turned my taxes in. I needed someone with a working cell phone or iPad who could call my son and file for an extension. The lady I gave the herbs to She had a husband and a working iPhone, so she could call him and he could call my son.
Oh my, sadly, when we were getting ready for bed that night, she told me that I was the nicest roommate she had ever had. We'd been together for 48 hours and I hadn't yelled at her yet. When we both woke up, which seemed in a very quickly sleep, it was still dark. I asked her what time it was, and she says it is 5:45. Oh, I was groggy, so she started to get up, and then she says, oh, wait a minute, my watch is upside down. It's 12:15. Now try to go back to sleep about that.
Victoria had told me she didn't mind if I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, but my internal clock was so messed up. I woke up at 2:30, and I could tell she wasn't sleeping either, so I asked her if she'd like to get up and read.
Why not?
Why not? She said rather sarcastically.
Then, the other morning, I came out of the bathroom, still wearing my shower cap. Oh, she said, you look so much better in that shower cap than you usually do. You should cut your hair at least that short. That long hair just drags your face down. Now, how's that for first thing in the morning? Then, as we were going to breakfast, she mentioned that there was no do not disturb sign. So would I be sure to lock our door so that the maid couldn't get in? Oh, I couldn't resist. Why not? Said I. She might touch my toothbrush, she said.
Victoria said she would not, could not get the maid not to come in our room. Of course, after I dropped the bag with the glass water bottle in it, that was kind of a moot point. We started the day with a walking tour of Brussels. We passed the starting point for the chocolate tour and workshop, and the guide told us to be back there at 1 p.m. or we would miss the tour. I stopped to look at this lovely fountain. And after I finished my reverie, I couldn't see anybody from the tour, including Victoria, who had the key to the motel room. While I was looking for the group, I came across the Royal Museum of Fine Arts. I went in to look around, and while I waited to rejoin my friends, and well, time just flew, and I completely forgot about that silly chocolate tour.
Well, everybody spent the walking tour trying to find out where we had lost Angela. People kept saying where they had seen her last. We finally decided that she had made it as far as the fountain, and we sent out some people as scouts, but they were unsuccessful. So we decided to go on the chocolate tour and worry about her later. Oh, was that chocolate tour good? We sampled something in every chocolate shop, and then we got to make some chocolate with a master chocolatier and taste the results. Boy, was I on a sugar high, and I certainly didn't need to go to dinner that night.
When I left the museum, I realized that the chocolate tour was over, and I needed to get back to the hotel on my own. I went into a pharmacy to try to find directions, but they couldn't help me. Then it hit me. Who else would know about another hotel except a hotel? So I walked into the first hotel I saw and asked for directions, and they told me it was only a 20-minute walk. I got back before the chocolate gluttons and found out that Lady Victoria had been keeping the key at the front desk all this time. She probably just wanted to make me feel incompetent. I'm still going to be pleasant, though. She bought plenty of euros before we left the States, and I don't think she's bought a thing. I'll buy some from her.
Angela was already there when we got back. She had asked at the desk if she could get back into the room and let her know that I regularly left the keys at the desk. I hope that didn't hurt her feelings. She is a little flighty, but she's honest and good-natured, and I have put up with worse companions. And she did buy me a present. She was going out to dinner that night with a group, and that was the night I, the chocolate glutton, stayed in. I gave her 50 euros and told her I would check the exchange and she could pay me tomorrow.
I am so happy to have survived that night. At least Victoria didn't talk about people I don't know and things I don't care about. And she didn't yell at me once.
And now time passes. We're getting ready to go home.
Now that we're leaving, how much do I owe you for the euros, Victoria?
Well, let's see. The exchange rate was 1.42. So 50 euros would be $71.
Oh, okay. Here you go. 50, 60, 70, and one. And Victoria, you are the best roommate I ever had.
And you've kept me amused and entertained the whole trip. I'm going to miss you, Angela.
For the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, I'm Dan Gould.